Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Christian Creative, a Christian-based show hosted by me, JK Waweru, a visual and theater arts creative, all by grace, none by class. And this is just my perspective, so enjoy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for coming back, and thank you for re-listening again to this podcast. It shows that you love this. You love the content or you love the host. I mean, either way, it's allowed. Thank you so much for being here. This is episode 5. First of all, I just want to thank God for the grace so far because I'm a Christian, of course, Christian creative. And number 5 is the number of grace. And I just thank God that we've been graced enough to have even the 5th episode of The Christian Creative.
Is this how long you do?
Thank you so much. Man, what is your problem? I'm trying to introduce you and you are here.
I'm just wondering, man, like this is taking too long.
Just let me be, man.
Okay, yeah.
So, ignore other voices. So, if you had another voice, sorry. You know how much I've struggled to be professional on this podcast, and you're here ruining everything.
Sorry, man.
I've been doing this for the past 5 weeks.
It's my bad. We're just getting concerned.
Anyway, I'm your host, JK Waweru, and today's topic is an interesting one, a controversial one, if I might say. But before we get into that, I've discovered a new trend, actually, that a lot of people are actually getting into podcasting and and vlogging. There are a ton of YouTube channels that have just been opened up. Man, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I will say it's a good thing. And also a ton of podcasts, including very major radio personalities that, you know, they decided to venture into this new form of online radio. And that is also, it's a good thing. So, you know, it's kind of tricky to think that you're in that rabble of people who have come up with something, because usually what happens is, and I've experienced this actually even in this podcast, is that when something new comes up, there's a huge traffic that rolls in to listen to and to watch whatever it is that is new. And then, okay, that's my cut. There's this storm. Man, you guys today, you've decided to just ruin my recording. Today, you've just decided to storm my studio. Anyway, so there's this wave that just comes, and a lot of people are watching, a lot of people are listening, and they just roll in. They just want to see what's happening. And then, all of a sudden, those numbers reduce drastically. They just go down. But now the good thing with that is, from that point onwards, the numbers that now start rising, the people that now start listening, and the people that keep listening, now these are established audiences. These are the people that now are like genuinely interested in what you're producing. So even if you've started something new, don't feel like people are wamejitoa, they've distanced themselves all of a sudden after, you know, standing with you for a very long time, or like for a very short time when you started. So don't you worry. Like, for example, the last episode before this one, I don't know if the numbers will hike after this, the last episode has less listens than the trailer, and the trailer is literally the introduction that you just had right now. It's amazing. It's crazy. But anyway, thank you so much for coming back. Truly, that means a lot to me. And now, speaking of trends, there's this recent trend of the gospel artist switching camps from the gospel to the other side. I'm saying the other side because in the world we live in today, I don't know why definitions have changed so much. Almost anything that you knew was called something is called something else. And what it was called, it means something else. And it's just, it's crazy. So for example, in Kenya right here, I don't know about the rest of the world, whoever is listening, but there's also a very famous Hillsong singer or vocalist that also shifted. He just said that he lost his faith. But here in Kenya, we have had the famous Willie Paul, of course. At first, he was so reluctant to admit it. So we just saw a couple of songs and we were like, we can connect the dots. We know what's happening. There is a lady called Mutua. I don't know if it's Evelyn Mutua also. She switched camps and she actually came out clean about it. And now, recently, Bahati seems to have joined the bandwagon as well. And we've seen a couple of disasters in terms of him and being on TV and reality shows and whatnot and blah blah blah. And through these few pointers, it has gotten to a point where now he was in an interview with Jesse and he said that, you know, he's distancing himself from the gospel scene as well. So that is our topic of the day, which is, you know, the burden of truth, of which we shall get to it in a few. But before we get into the crunch of things, let me now introduce my guest. Now, officially, like officially,
wow.
How you're supposed to do it. You know, you're supposed to give people something that happened last week, what you are planning to do this week, who is on your show.
I'm teaching you how to do these things.
All right, so the guest today, he's a brother, a business and ministry partner. He's a Christian creative in the fields of film, theater and music. He holds a diploma in theology and a PhD in lyrical fluency, aka rhythm and poetry. Please welcome J.R. Richard.
After that introduction, what do you say again? To like top, I didn't mean anything. But the ungenza na hiyo hata ningekuwa nimetulia kitabu. Hey guys, yeah, I didn't forget that long introduction. Yeah, I have a question though for you before you start asking me like questions. So, Bahati decided to do what exactly? Like, he decided to officially just get out of the Christian fraternity or singing? Okay, like, I don't get the situation.
Well, what I can say is that is what you're asking about what he said, but there's a lot more about what he's saying without using words. I mean, you look at the last three or four songs that he has done, and literally they have nothing to do with the gospel, honestly. You know, it's just full of video vixens and, you know, whatever it is that he's talking about. So for me, he spoke about leaving the gospel or the Christian space a long time ago. It is just that during, you know, controversies that come up, you have people, media personalities, they want to get the crunch of it so that they get trendy news and all that. And that is where he mentioned that he's distancing himself from the gospel scene. Yeah, Bahati is not our topic of discussion today. I'm sure you've listened to the Christian Creative before. It's not the first time being here.
It's like my favorite podcast in the world.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Like we said in episode 3, we were hosting Baraka and we were having such a conversation with him. If anybody has not listened to it, it is called the Pressure to Conform. So you can go and listen to it. It's still there. You can listen to it and then you can be able to connect. And we were saying, you know, some of these people, it is not so much about the individual, it is about the people who are following the individual. So when they make these choices and make these decisions, they do not affect them specifically, they affect the people who are following them. Because at the end of the day, you are not created for you, you are created for somebody else, and what you do is supposed to impact somebody else. So when we sometimes decide to become selfish and think about, you know, maybe I'm not feeling comfortable in this space, but maybe probably you being there, you've been a beam of light for somebody else. But JR, in your assessment, in the current situation in the gospel scene in Kenya right now, especially, what do you think is the core problem?
Well, I'd say I was thinking about this conversation, by the way, because most of the time, like when I have things going on, I try to rationalize it, just like think it through. Not only from just a scriptural perspective also, but also things that are going on around us, and then see how it fits the narrative that is being told. Because people switching camps, it's kind of a complicated thing than just switching camps. Like, you just don't wake up one day and you switch camps. There's something that must be going on in the background for a very long time for you to do that. We saw this with Size 8. You remember when Size 8 like got born again? Most of us knew she's born again after we had the first song she released. But she said it took her almost a year. Like, she got born again, took almost a year in between just to transition, you know. And so when she finally came out, a lot of things happened in the background that we didn't know about. So the same thing with also these guys that are shifting from gospel to secular. There's a lot of things that are going on in the background, and for you to switch camps, you are not only stopping to record music that is gospel, which again there's an issue in there. You are literally turning your back against your faith, you know, because when you say gospel artist, the gospel is defined as Christ dying for our sins and rising up on the third day, according to the scriptures. That is what the gospel is all about. So the moment you say you're a gospel artist, what you're saying is you advocate for that idea, for lack of a better word, for that idea in your music. So that is what you're actually transmitting. So sometimes it may be connected to a certain situation, right? But that is the main idea. That is who you are, right? So when you say you are shifting from gospel music, it's not just about the music. It's more about your faith, right? So the reason why I think people are shifting camps, I don't think it's the fault of the church, because Christianity is a very personal thing. And so when the waves come, the Bible says that to those who will hold up to the end, I will give them the crown of life, right? I will reward them. So there's the holding on. No matter the persecution, no matter, you know, the church pisses you off and you're like, you know, this, I'm done with this thing, you know, right? What defines you as a Christian is that personal relationship with God, no matter what happens in between, right? So the moment you shift camps, it's not just about people making you to do that. You have to literally, you as an individual, decide that I don't want to do this anymore. And that's not nobody's fault, by the way. That is your own will. You have to decide on your own. So the day you'll stand before God, he won't be concerned about who made you do what. He's like, but you had the will to keep on going when everybody else was throwing shades. Akina Peter did that. People didn't like the whole idea. In fact, the church of that time, which was the Pharisees, they didn't like the idea of like Christianity and all that. But they didn't say like, you know what, we're going to stop doing this. You know, and they, I'm just going to talk about philosophy and all that. And, you know, this old Christianity thing is not working for me. So this was prophesied in the Bible about the falling away first. So people just, this is not a new thing. It has happened in the Bible before. People have gone away from the faith. In history, it has happened before. I don't even know why people are surprised about these things. Yeah.
You mentioned about it not being the fault of the church, and in the question,
not entirely though.
Not entirely. Yeah. So in the question of the week, I asked, do you think that the Christian creatives or the gospel artists are doing enough in terms of transmitting the gospel or the word of God? And I got a response, and one of the responses was from Dan Mahinda, and he said that sometimes these people actually switching camps from, you know, gospel to the other side, sometimes it is the fault of the church itself. What they preach, in quotes, is not what they live. You know, they will preach love and then they'll discriminate others.
Yes, I've experienced, you know, that
firsthand. So you've mentioned that not entirely, that, you know, it's not the fault of the church, but yes, not entirely. So where is that line drawn?
Well, just like you said, exactly, the church has a part to play, and the church is not that perfect, by the way. We should know that. There's this quote that says that the church is not a museum for good people, but a hospital for, right? So it's more like, listen, if it's about discrimination, I think all of us have gone through that, especially peculiar people like us. You know, you show up in the church with your dreadlocks and beards and all that, and people are like, I don't know, you know, it's okay, you can come today, but, you know, you gotta change, right? Like, you should change.
Just sit at the back.
Yeah, just sit at the back. You know, God will touch your heart in one way or another. And you're like, dude, I've been working with him for the last, like, 15 years. And, okay, so my point is, the line is drawn here. When Christ is addressing the churches in the book of Revelation, he says about the good things they're doing, but calls them out on the bad things that they do, right? So that means, in every single church, there's always something going on. Right, so if the bad things are your motivation, then guess what? There's no place you're going to stay where there's everything is 100% perfect, not even in your own family, right? So the church has a part to play in this, because mostly, especially young people or creatives, are not that well accepted in the churches, because the church is conservative. There's a way they've been doing things for a very long time. So if somebody comes up with a different way of doing it, they'll start discriminating and they'll start calling him out, right? And so, because of our rebellious nature, we usually tend to throw our hands and say, you know what, I don't care anymore. You know what, I'll go do my stuff, you know. But just that part, that is just part of the faith. You know, you'll just get that opposition in church or out of it, right? So the church has the part to play in place of acceptance. Just receiving people the way they are and then letting God do his work. Not trying to help God to do his work in people's lives. Like, you know, I want them to be like peace. If they're not like this, then, you know. And then somebody's like, you know what, I think I'm okay with the way I am. So if you think there's a problem with the way I've been doing my music, you know what, I think I'll now go full blast on it and just see how and to just piss you even off more.
So you've mentioned about, you know, you get frustrated to a point where you decide, you know what, if you have a problem with how I do my music, yes, then I'll go and do it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Where and it's now, accepted. Where it's accepted. Now, that brings me to the question of genre,
yes,
of choice.
Yes.
Does that have an effect on how you, you know, have an effect on how you transmit this message of the gospel? Hip-hop, reggae, you know, because in Kenya right now, speaking in Kenya right now, there are some genres, honestly, well, you know, any time
the
when you start, you know, a hip-hop beat somewhere, Ekodida, what? You know, Ekodida, no. It is only recently where reggae actually got its
yes,
place,
yeah,
because
exactly, yeah,
now the worship, you know, the worship band or the worship team started, you know, doing
yes,
some
exactly, yeah,
some reggae in yeah, between and all that. So it became
or doing some famous songs with reggae,
and it became, you know, acceptable. But now there are some other genres that now kidogo as janza kuingia kwa nini. So does genre actually have an effect on how you transmit the message?
I think to answer that question directly, genre does not affect the message. It depends with the people receiving the message. Because I've heard stories of young people who got born again by just listening to a hip-hop song from Lake Ray, for example. I know somebody specifically who told me that and told me even the specific word that, you know, the specific bar that got him thinking about his life. And so art in itself, I usually say art, people don't know this, but the reason why music in itself is from God and is in itself a gift from God is because music is one thing you can't exhaust. You literally can't exhaust it. It's like we have millions of hip-hop artist men and they keep on rapping and rhyming and the words have not yet been exhausted. How you can be able to manipulate the words to make the tune sound much more appealing has never been exhausted. Music in itself, like all those genres and, you know, how you can be able to do it, it's like it shows of the eternal nature of God, right? So genre in itself is just a vehicle, right? So you can use a bus to get to Mombasa. If you are not in for the adventure of the road, you can just take an aeroplane, right? So I think that is more in itself, like the music itself does not affect, but the people receiving it are like the ones that that determine if it will get to them or not. So if you go to a hard conservative Anglican church, you can't just rap there. It's not that the rap does not have the message. The rap has it can have a very powerful message, even more than a hymn, by the way, because, you know, it's a personal experience probably, right? But it won't get to them because they've been rigid. They're like, you know what, we just don't do this. This is probably this of the devil or something like that, because it is not familiar to us. So I believe also the genre should be tailored also for specific people also. Not entirely, but to specific people, right? So like young people are right now into this new genre of music, like let's say, for example, trap. You won't find like just young people, you know, gather somewhere and just singing hymns, you know. It's like, it can happen, yes, but rarely, right? Because generation-wise, it's like there's a small gap there. We should not be there, by the way. You know, just like they taught us all those, we're also trying to teach them these. You get you get it, yeah.
I totally agree, because in a way, it's a way of putting a security wall just in case, because they are afraid something might slip in,
yes, yeah,
which is,
yeah, true.
Because these genres, they're well known for, you know, the other side,
yes,
you know, you,
yeah,
most songs that are known are from,
yes,
the other area, you know. So the genre that is known for that area, sometimes they
not that good.
They want to just put a barrier just in case something slips in. Because
somebody like that.
Honestly, in my earlier years of dancing, there was a time where a certain church got away with actually playing a song by Conscience. And the song was saying, "Thank God for the Gelden." So, so they were dancing. The crew were actually dancing, and they were choreographing that thing. "Thank God for the Gelden." So, because there was "Thank God," they actually convinced the entire church that it was a gospel song. Literally, how that happened to date, I have never understood. But they actually got away with it. They played it in church on Sunday, and they danced to it. So
Somebody
understand.
Somebody also told me this. Let me share this experience. Yeah. Somebody told me this song. I don't know the artist, but it says, "Oh Lord, please don't let me cheat on my girlfriend." Yes. He told me it's a gospel song. I was like,
Chris Martins is by Chris Martins. These people have not paid for advertisements, so we are not promoting their music.
Which brings me to another question.
Yeah.
Let me just throw this in there. Probably you guys can think about it, right? How do you categorize the gospel music, right? Do you associate it with the artist? If the artist is born again and is saying something about God, does it make it gospel? Or if the artist just mentions something about God, it makes it gospel? So that's what I'm telling you. This is a little bit complicated, because if you say the artist needs to be born again, what about those who are born again but then fell away? And then they said even when they were born again, they didn't just feel it. But their musics are very powerful. That's why it brings me now to the message. What defines a gospel is not the artist. It's what the content is all about. Because the Bible says that in pretense or in truth, the gospel must be preached. So in pretense or in truth, the definition of the gospel does not change. So the moment you put... That's why the secular artist, who you call secular artist, of course, like for example, Nyashinsky, did a very... did this gospel song that everybody called gospel and stuff like that. And people really loved it. People were like, "Man, this is powerful stuff," right? My point is, I'm not saying that that was completely whatever, gospel-oriented or whatever. Or Sauti Sol did a song, right? And people were like, "Wow." Which was completely out.
Exactly.
By the way. It was, man, like, the message in that is, like, completely, it has nothing to do with the gospel in there. But, okay, my point is, the gospel is not more about the artist or whatever. It's what is that message?
Judge the art, not the artist. Yes, exactly. So, you know, speaking of message, and how the artist and the art are totally sometimes different entities,
sometimes also still connected.
And still connected. You know, another lady responded, which was Rosem Dutain. She said, for her, she looks at it beyond just the genre, which, or the definition of gospel and secular. She looks at it as worship, where your worship is inclined to. Because when it comes to worship, it is a lifestyle. It's not a genre of music. Yes. It's not a way of singing. Yes. It's a way of lifestyle. And she's saying the way you live your day-to-day life, yes, actually determines how you even create what you create.
Exactly.
The That's decisions true. That you make That's and all true. That. So what you listen to, what people you interact with, how you spend your days. You know, there are people who actually just read the Bible when they are going to church and all that. And they claim to be gospel artists, but they only read the Bible when it's being preached on TV.
They don't even know it. Like this dude who keeps on claiming is the chairman of the gospel industry in Kenya.
Rington.
Man, it's like that guy's completely deluded, by the way. Oh, I must have said that.
Yeah, it's
my opinion, by the way. It's
Christian creatives talking about Christian creativity. True, so true. We're still in line.
That guy does not know no scriptures, none at all. He misquotes scriptures like okay, let me just stop it there.
The other question I'd ask right now is I was having a conversation yesterday, actually, literally yesterday, with a friend of ours, and he recently did a song in a different way from how we knew it before. And I actually engaged him on this. And I asked him, "Man, what happened?" Because the song, the way you played it to us the last time, it was so beautiful. And it was actually so intentional in terms of passing the message. But when you recorded the song, what we are getting out of the studio is totally different. This is not what we expected. And I asked him, "So what happened there?" And he said, actually, it was the people who were actually producing the music that actually enticed him to do it, because it is catchy to the young people right now, you know. And he actually debated with them for a little while. But you see, the problem there was these people were the ones who were producing for him. Yeah. He was not putting, he was not pulling out anything out of his pocket.
Oh, okay,
you see, so there is that dependency because I'm not producing anything from my pocket.
So you don't have a say.
You don't have a say. Sometimes you just give in because, you know, they were saying, you know, if you want to get people on YouTube, it's the young people, and the young people are okay with upbeat. And they were saying, actually, what they said is that if he started with a song that is upbeat, and then you did a worship song later, you know, it's easy to catch people with the upbeat song, the young people with the upbeat
then
song.
Worship later.
And then, so my question is, who should determine the components of the art that you produce as a Christian creative? Where is the determination? Where is it coming from? How you record it, when you record it, the form or the way, the genre that you record it in? I think it's pretty obvious, but I'd like to get your input on this. Yeah. Who determines, or what determines?
That is God and yourself. Yeah, it's just as simple as that. That is God and yourself. And what I mean by that is, God will give you something in season. Because, case in point, you're going through depression, right? And a lot of artists go through that. I have an idea why, but we are not going to talk about that today. So if you're going through depression and God gives you a song, and then you go to the studio and somebody's like, you know what, people really don't like this, you know, sad stuff, you know, so I think you should spice it up a little bit. And you're like, dude, number one, you don't know my experience. Number two, you don't know the conversation that I had with God in my closet about this, right? And so the moment God gives you something, a content, you don't need to quote scriptures in every single song to make it a gospel song. Number one, people need to know that. You can misquote scriptures and you call it a gospel song, it's still not a gospel song, right? So if God gives you something for the people, because God does not give you something just for yourself, you will go through it and then he'll take you out of it, of course, but then the experience is for the people, the testimony is for the people, right? So that is what you do when you're writing a music or a worship song. Like, there's this song that lately I've been playing, Goodness of God, you know it, right? Because it's so personal to me, I'm like, I feel what this guy was feeling. So imagine I enter the studio and then producer will be, I just don't know, I'm just not feeling it, you know? And you're like, no, you're not supposed to feel it, bruh. It's like, you're just supposed to produce what God has given me, right? So I think the content is supposed to be determined by God and your experience. And once in a while, you can take what people are going through and then communicate it back. Like right now, there's this whole explosion in Beirut, right? You can take that experience, because it's a nikito ready na fanyika ukwevo inje, and then come to the studio and do something about that. Now, that one is kind of situational, once in a while kind of thing. But if you really want to do art that really impacts, the determining factor is God and you.
The determining factor here is God and you. I told this guy that before you even do the last bit, because sometimes when we get into the stream of things, in terms of maybe even producing one song, there's the moment of inception, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then writing it, then actually composing it, going to studio, putting in all these other things. And by the time you're getting to doing the video, sometimes you forget. Where did it all start? So sometimes it's good to sit, relax, think back. Where did it all